Hey, guys and ghouls.
You're tuned in to Broadcast from the Belfry, a shitty podcast for shitty people.
That's true. But, you know, yep, my name's Sanjay. Sitting next to me on this carpeted floor in this year of 2019 is Georgia. How are you doing today?
I'm so great.
Good. I know that's a lie. We're both doing terrible, but we'll figure it out.
Anytime I say that I'm great, it means my life is literally on fire around me, and I'm just dealing with it.
Yeah, I was talking to someone the other day, and was like, if I could, like, spit in my own mouth, like, that's how my life is going right now.
I was just talking about me and my friend Ryan Hartbank from back in the day. We went on a road trip to South Carolina, and he and I got in a spit fight. And he literally, like, we were spitting. Well, it started off as us throwing a watermelon at each other, indoors, by the way, which was really messy. Good. And then we started chasing each other and spitting on each other, and then it got to the point where he pinned me down and spit in my mouth. And,
see, that's a good old Midwest time.
Oh, yeah. It was great.
If you spit at or on someone that you care about, then you're not living the Midwest dream.
That guy is one of the coolest bros I ever had.
Complex.
Well, here's the thing. I had a bunch of harvest-themed horror, because this is kicking off our harvest-themed horror month. Bam, 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 bam. I had a bunch of ideas, but a lot of them weren't long enough to take up a full episode. Ooh. So I just put them into one episode.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Right?
Yeah, it's so just like a hodgepodge.
It's a hodgepodge. Yeah. That's what I was calling it, a hodgepodge. Mm-hmm. So the question is, what do you want to hear about first? I'll give you your options.
Yeah, make a list for me.
Scarecrows.
All right.
Smallpox blankets.
Okay.
Because, you know, it's almost Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I guess.
The Jeepers Creepers true story. Mm-hmm. Or crop circles.
Crop circles.
I knew you were going to say that, and that's one I have the most on, which was like, save it for last, save it for last.
No, you shouldn't have said that. Okay, no, skip it then. My second one I was most interested in.
I know you want to hear about Jeepers Creepers.
I do want to hear about, I want to hear about smallpox blankets, because I don't know how that's related to anything else on this list.
What? It's Thanksgiving!
Okay, never mind, that makes sense. All right, smallpox.
Okay, so we'll show her smallpox blankets. Give me, get to the page.
Smallpox! Like, all right, Woo! If you want smallpox.
All right, so everybody always talks about how we gave, I mean, it's not technically Thanksgiving when we gave them the Native American smallpox blankets, but, you know.
'Tis the season still.
Yep. So technically it happened in, like, July or something, but here we are. We're just going to talk about colonialism. Yay.
Yay, I thought you were going to say cologne, and I was like, whoa, wild, wild.
No. That's how they made cologne. They gave smallpox blankets to sheep.
Yo, it's quick aside. So I'm looking at memes right now. And
as always.
Yeah, I know. And everyone might remember that like 2 years ago, this kid in Manhattan, Kansas, got his car broken into and someone stole his candy bar. And they left a note saying like, hey, you don't remember this?
No.
No, it was like, it made nationwide news. Like literally, this kid
posted
a picture.
Maybe it was when I lived in Washington.
It might have been. But someone broke in his car and left a note saying, hey, I'm sorry. Your car door was open, and I just wanted your candy bar. I'm sorry. And that was it. Like, that was a note. The kid posted it, made nationwide news. Kit Kat, like, sent him a car full, like, filled his car with candy bars. And I just saw, like, a meme about that. That kid is my friend's cousin. Like, I know this guy through a second degree.
Cecilia Wait, that Lane? Kid is?
Yeah, it's this kid. That's the friend. Like, that's her cousin.
He looks like,
uncomfortable?
Well, yeah, but he also looks like Dr. Sweets in Bones. What's his name? I can't remember. He's got three names, but he's the kid that's training in waiting.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? With the teeth and the hair? He's got the teeth.
Literally, the comments on this picture is someone that Georgia and I know saying, I know that guy. And then someone else saying, I remember when it happened. It was a huge deal.
Who said that?
Chris.
Oh.
Yeah.
I want to shout out those people for those reviews that we read,
because
they're legit.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chillerome.
Yeah,
I know
that?
You. You know me.
Who is that? That review was fucking awesome.
Do you mean your friendly neighborhood pocket shark, Mr. Tyler?
I've been reading it to everybody because it makes me really happy.
Dude, Tyler is the shit. So first of all, he's got great hair, right? He's got a sick Pokemon sleeve. He's just the... He's got
the
nicest wife in America.
Cool.
You know, they just moved to, are you guys in Portland? Portland, Maine. Yeah, they're in Portland, Maine.
Not the hipster Portland.
Yeah,
no. The lobster Portland.
No, they're hipsters, but yeah, they live in like the not hipster one. So
that makes it more hipster.
Yeah, thank you for that sick review. My parents are finally proud of me.
Yeah.
You did it, Tyler. Thank you.
I'm a fan of this review. It's really long, otherwise I'd read it. But I am going to read the short one, because this is the one that we don't know who this is, right?
Yeah.
If you wrote this, please tell us so we know that it's you.
That was gross, and no one wanted to hear that ASMR.
I'll cut it out. It's fine.
Okay.
This is a great tangent soup cast where they cover all things soup and tangents. But for real, I love the dark and creepy history that this podcast covers and the interaction between the hosts. It's done in a fun and interesting way. Fuck yeah, we talk about soup.
Wait, what was the name of that one? Like, what was their name?
Dr. Munoz.
No, I don't know who that is. I thought I did, but I
know. Yeah, well, Hope was like, we know the first one, but not the second one. And I was like, okay, cool.
So thanks, Doc. We love you. Tyler, you know I love you already. Now you know that we love you collectively.
Yeah, I've been reading that to everybody. It's my favorite thing.
It, once again, our parents finally love us, and that's all we've ever wanted.
He also just basically said that I'm the smart one.
Yeah, that's just true. Here. That's obvious.
I mean, yeah.
You have actual degrees related to what we talk about.
I have 3 degrees. Woo!
I just am a curator.
And I don't use any of them.
You do not. You do now. You do in this podcast.
Well, yeah, that's true. All right, I'll give you that. I'm going to use my biology background right here when we talk about smallpox.
Gross.
But we're going to talk about colonialism first. Okay, so everyone always talks about how we gave smallpox blankets to the Native Americans to get rid of them, genocide, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows, really? There is only one documented account of smallpox blankets being delivered, and that happened at Fort Pitt in 1763. So technically it was the British, not to hate on my own people or anything, but I'm just saying maybe lay off the Americans a little bit because it was definitely the British who did this.
Maybe they were just like, oh, these are just some nice blankets.
Hey man, the British know how to dominate some people and make an empire.
Literally, the word dominatrix is a British term meaning friendly neighborhood woman.
I'm raising my hand.
Yeah, Georgia is currently raising her hand.
You can't see that, but I'm raising my hand. Okay, yeah. So it's 1763, and Fort Pitt is under siege by the Delaware, Shawnee, and Mingo warriors. And Fort Pitt Hospital already has
Fort Pitt's got small pits.
Yeah. Well, maybe they had less stinky armpits. So they already had smallpox patients in their infirmary. And there were extra people in the fort because people who were passing through as, like, traders and stuff were stopping and then not being able to go anywhere because they didn't want to get killed by the sieging warriors.
Mm-hmm.
And so the fort was becoming overpopulated, which is usually a good time for super infectious diseases to spread anyway. And so some of the officers get together and they say, why don't we try and spread it outside to the Indians? I'm in quotations. That's the
There's big quotes
term in the right article. Now. We all know the term Indians is not super PC.
Yeah, because they weren't in fucking India.
Truth.
That's why. It's dumb.
So what had happened was, did you watch Tom Segura?
No.
That's a Tom Segura reference. Anyway.
Someone appreciates that more than I do.
You
by that,
should.
Literally everyone that listens to this podcast is probably like, oh, Mr. Tommy S. Tommy
you
C.
should watch Tom Segura because he's hilarious. So Delaware emissaries went into the fort to try and persuade the British people to abandon the fort, but they obviously were unsuccessful. So they said, all right, well, can you just hook us up with some provisions for our return journey? So, the British are like, sure, we'll give you some provisions. Those provisions included 2 smallpox blankets. Well, two blankets from the infirmary as well as a handkerchief from the smallpox ward.
Mm-hmm.
And this has been evidenced in the diary of the person who decided that this was a good idea.
Yikes.
But historians think that that probably didn't work. Can you not eat my notes? Thank you. Historians think that that probably didn't work because the virus is, if the virus existed on the blanket, it would have been too old to be viable in actually contracting the disease.
So someone would have needed to, like, lick the blanket and then immediately give it to someone who immediately licked it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm. So smallpox is really contagious, but just handing a blanket from the ward that had just been sitting there,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, sure, it might have had airborne droplets or something on it, but the virus would have existed outside of a host for too long.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah.
For it to then contract the disease in someone else.
The virus needs human flesh.
Yeah. That's why viruses are disgusting and harder to destroy than bacteria.
Exactly.
It's great.
They're the 0.001% of germs that Purell. Purex?
Purex.
What's Purell? Purell.
Purell.
Yeah, that's the one.
I don't know. Point. I don't use sanitizer, hand sanitizer, because gross. What's the point? Wash your hands.
To kill 99.99%
of
germs.
Wash your hands and don't be a dirty person.
I want to handle, also, like, horse shit.
Sanitizer.
And then, like,
things like hand sanitizer contribute to...
Yeah, exactly.
Bacteria strains become resistant to antibacterial agents because people use them too much.
Exactly. I wake up every morning and I say, bacteria, fuck me up, daddy. Literally, and then I go, and just suck in as much dirty air as I can.
I mean, just eat some dirt when you're a kid and you'll be fine.
I've eaten so much dirt. Don't even question then the pounds of dirt I've eaten.
You don't need to worry about using Purell. Seriously. When you do archaeology in the field, you do not get to wash your hands that much. Unless you're really lucky and you're in, like, a site that has running water.
What if you have to pick your nose? So you don't want dirt lodged up there.
You eat a lot of dirt. Pull your nose. Get a neti pot.
Those are gross.
Yeah, they are. I can't do those.
I hate neti pots.
My parents use them and I can't.
Anyone that listens to this podcast.
Neti pots, like, uses ear neti candles, pots, all that shit. I can't.
You're a fucking monster and I want to know how you get your strength. Like, I'm literally scared of. If one's just on a counter, like, I leave.
I think it's because the older I get, the more problems I also have with my sinuses, and the fact of putting more shit up there stresses me out. Just the idea of that stresses me out so much.
I don't know how I already have stuff in my... I don't like the fact that there's stuff in my body. Period. You ever think about how many organs you've got?
It's a good thing you didn't take any anatomy classes.
No, do you know how long your small intestine is?
There's a story... Was it Ray Bradbury? It wasn't Ray Bradbury.
Who? Fahrenheit 451?
No.
Fahrenheit 450? Fahrenheit 449.
I mean, it was 451, but that's not what I'm talking about.
It was
about
the 451st book, though.
I can't remember. Now I gotta look this shit up. I can't remember if it was Ray Bradbury or not. But I was just listening to the story about a guy who was terrified of the fact that there was a skeleton inside of his body.
Yeah, dude, that's fucked up.
And
literally, we are
the
all...
more. It is by Ray Bradbury. It's just called Skeleton. So he's terrified of the fact that there's a skeleton inside of a body, and his doctor keeps getting really pissed off that he's coming to see him, and he just tells him he's a hypochondriac. And he keeps asking his wife dumb questions about things that are going on, and he's really concerned about his fingernails, and she just keeps telling him that that's just hardened skin, which kind of, I guess, whatever. Not really.
Is it keratin?
It's keratin.
Okay, yeah.
And he goes to see this other doctor who creeps him the shit out, and it ends up that that doctor is actually a bone-eating monster.
Whoa!
And then his wife comes home and finds his skin sack on the floor.
What the fuck? And he's like, sir. And so he's just happy.
He just says, I think her name is Clarice.
Like Clarice.
And so she gets creeped out because the skin sack says her name. And she passes the doctor on the street as she's walking home.
Whoa.
And he's sucking a freaking long bone like a cannoli.
That's just weird. You can't do that. Like, if someone... So I've, like, had marrow from a cow bone before. And it's, like, solid. But I'm not gonna just... Like, down the street.
My advisor in college... Every year, didn't matter what class he was teaching, it would be Thanksgiving break, and he would say, go home and eat the bone marrow from the turkey bones. And everyone would come back and some people would be like, yeah, I totally did that. It was pretty delicious. And everyone else just goes, no, I didn't fucking do that. Ew.
But turkeys are like small boned.
So they still have bone marrow though.
I don't know. Like, would I want to eat someone eat my bones? No, it's too much work. Like, I'm the crawfish to a crab. Itching? She's busy.
You're too itchy. You scratch too much.
Well, she big itchy. Yeah. Which just sounds like bitchy. Does. She bitchy.
I mean, also that.
I think I've said that about you before. I know I've called you bitchy, but like that way. Like that exact way. Hey, so are you in Georgia enjoying your podcast? You guys friends or whatever? She bitchy.
No, we're not actually friends.
We're not actually friends.
All the people who write reviews about us being friends, no.
Sorely mistaken.
No, we don't. No.
Literally, we're... If you've seen the acclaimed Beat It video... Wait. I think it's Beat It. No. Yeah.
Where they have a dance-off? Are we gonna have a dance-off?
No, the one where... Is that the one where they're in, like, the parking garage and they tie their hands together and they're, like kind of dancing, but they've got knives?
Maybe. You know? I don't know.
I think. Because I know Beat It's when he's laying in bed and he's like, Beat It! And then he sits up and he's like, Beat It! Like, again.
The only two Michael Jackson videos I really remember are obviously Thriller. And then, what's that song that he wrote about the earth dying and everything? And there were elephants in the video, but the main part I remember is he was standing in between like two trees and his hands were either tied to them or he was holding on to them.
Are you talking about fuck, yep, Bad was the video I'm thinking of. Okay. Because Weird Al parodied it with Fat.
Oh yeah.
And
Bad. That one.
I feel like you're thinking about Black or White, but that's not
no,
it.
No, it's not.
Because that's about race very transparently.
Nowhere near as upbeat as that song either.
I don't know. Are you thinking about Waka Waka, This Time for Africa by Shakira?
No.
This Time for Africa.
This is definitely Michael Jackson. And it came out. Waka Waka. It came out in the 90s because I remember it coming out.
Oh, I was dead then, my dude. And by that, I wasn't born yet.
I was dead. I was dead. I wasn't alive.
I am now friends with a girl, a human being, that was not born before 9/11.
Ew. Right? That's so creepy.
She's a real human being.
Hey, I feel like an adult this year because this week, well, I have my big conference at work. I also have a benefits enrollment meeting to learn how my benefits are changing. And I also budgeted most of this paycheck for my Christmas shopping, and it's not even Thanksgiving yet. Look at me go.
Time to adjust my boots, man.
Also, there are already people in the fort that already had smallpox.
Yeah.
So they probably got it from the Indians that they're trying to give smallpox to. Again, I'm saying Indians because it's... Don't hate mail me for that.
Exactly.
They probably got it from them in the first place because...
And now it's personal. Taking it back.
And now they're like, no, now we're going to give it back to you. Mm-hmm. Everyone who already had it probably is, you know, if you were going to get it, you already had it.
Yeah.
So you're good now.
It was the cha-cha slide of diseases. It's like...
Between
smallpox to the left. Smallpox to the right. Crisscross.
And the fact that cutting all of their corn and burning down their houses is probably what made the Native Americans more susceptible. Susceptible. Jesus.
Sorry, I remember when I was stupid. It's fine.
To dying. Then
susceptible to dying.
Then the human blankets. Anyway. So, yeah. And one article said it also could have come from the clothing that the sieging warriors took from the outlying settlers.
That actually makes more sense.
Yeah.
Like someone pooped their pants when they had a disease.
Like, sure, they probably contracted smallpox somehow, but not from the blankets. Do you want to hear about smallpox? It's great. It's highly contagious. It's airborne through coughs and sneezes. You can get it from saliva or blood exchanging, blah, blah, blah. Or you can get it from skin-to-skin contact. How cool is that?
Like, not very. It's cool in, like, a that's-gonna-kill-me kind of way.
Yeah. There's no treatment or cure. So that's cool. You just gotta deal with it. Let's see. It was declared eradicated in 1980 after a global immunization campaign from the World Health Organization. And it's only one of two infectious diseases to be considered eradicated. So that's cool.
What's the other one?
It's called Rinderpest, which was eradicated in 2001. And I have no idea what that is. That was not covered in any of my anatomy or microbiology classes. So I was going to Google it and I forgot.
Same.
Every day.
Yeah, just in general.
So Edward Jenner is the one who discovered the smallpox vaccine. He was a cool guy. 1798. The vaccine leaves a pretty sweet scar. But they don't make it a standard vaccine anymore just because it's a live vaccine, which means they put the virus in you so mm-hmm. you develop antibodies against it. And the nature of the disease is just too much for low-risk populations anyway. Mm-hmm. So I know some of our EOD friends got smallpox vaccines last year. They couldn't even... They were pissed off because they couldn't have sex with anyone for a month. But they also couldn't share drinks or anything with anyone. Mm. So, yeah, you just got to be real careful because... Like I said, it's a live virus.
They could wrestle with anyone except other EOD guys.
Yep. They do that. It's fine.
They do.
Did you know? Okay, so Edward Jenner. Some of the details might be hazy on this because I'm remembering this from my microbiology class, which I took about 6 years ago. So Edward Jenner experimented with, like, he developed his theories with cowpox and then translated them to smallpox. So he found that the milkmaids, after milking the cows, they would get the cowpox on their hands. And so, which is not super serious, whatever. But you get nasty pussy things, you know, it's kind of, it's like a step up from smallpox, like sore wise, but not as bad as smallpox. And so he took some of the pus from the little bumps.
Gross sentence. Continue.
And then injected it into their bloodstream to get the antibodies to happen. Mm-hmm. And then he would find that the people he injected it into didn't get the pox.
Oh.
Yeah. So he used that to come up with the smallpox vaccine. And the word vaccine comes from the Latin word for cow.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So that was cool. I learned that today. The earliest evidence of smallpox,
adorable,
was found in mummies from Egypt in the 3rd century. So that's cool. It's been around a long time.
I wonder how they died.
Well, if you just have the standard strain, there's only a 30% fatality rate. So you get your flu-like symptoms, fever, aches, nausea, vomiting, and then you get reddish spots that appear on your mucous membranes, like in your mouth, your tongue, back of your throat, and those eventually rupture, releasing the virus into the saliva, and by this point it's in your bloodstream. They don't really know how it kills you, but once it's into your bloodstream, obviously it affects almost all of your organs, so I assume that it has something to do with organ failure in some way, shape, or form.
Mm-hmm.
24 to 48 hours after that, a rash develops. It starts on your forehead, and then it spreads onto the rest of your face and down into your arms and your torso and then into your toes. And that develops into... They're, like, kind of big. They're raised, and they have little dimples in the middle of them. And then they get hard... They're firm but pussy, and then they get hard, and then all the pus leaks out of them. And then Sanjay's face right now is amazing. And then they scar over. So you get over it. If you get past that, you're gonna be fine. Sometimes you can go blind, but I think that's with the other more rare forms of smallpox, or the ones that will kill you.
So I don't know what's worse, like, literally everything you just said to me, or the fact that when you started and you were, like, saying, like, how it moves down the body, that Bubbly by Calbee Coley started playing in my head. So, like, I'm like attributing that entire song.
Starts it in your toes. Makes you crinkles your nose.
So just, yeah, I'm just like, that song's about smallpox.
I saw her live in Nashville when I was 19.
Nice.
Yep.
That song's actually about orgasms. Fun fact.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Or smallpox.
Now smallpox.
It's not about whatever I thought it was when I was 13.
Bubbles.
Just jamming.
Bubble bath.
Yeah. I'm just like in my fucking 1984 Honda Civic, just like crying, listening to Colby Calais.
Oh boy. Okay. What next?
Jeepy Creepy.
Jeepy Creepies.
It's also what they called me in high school because I was ugly and weird.
That makes sense.
Yeah, right?
Alright, Jeepers Creepers came out in 2001, which was when I was in 8th grade slash my freshman year. No, just kidding. 8th grade slash year 8, because that's when I moved to this country.
I was in kindergarten slash 1st grade.
I should have been in 7th grade.
Wait, no, I finished 1st grade and started 2nd grade.
Yeah. I should have been in 7th grade, but because British education is of a much higher quality than American education, and you start school a year earlier, they put me in 8th grade, and I sat down in algebra, and I said, what the fuck language is this? It's just math, but I can't understand a word of it, because somewhere in the skip that you just decided was appropriate for me, you cut out the part where I learned the beginning part of algebra.
Yep.
So it took me about 15 years to catch up and nice. Figure out what it was that I missed that made me have to take college algebra 3 times.
Nice.
Yeah.
Mine is apathy. I just can't care enough.
So in 1990, before you were born.
Yep, 4 years. I was negative 4 years old.
I was 2 years old.
Yikes.
Actually, technically, I was 1 because this happened before September, so I was still 1. Dennis DePew. I think that's how you say his name. I don't know. It sounds disgusting already. Dennis DePew and his wife go missing. The reports say that they were already separated. She had filed for divorce. And he had gone to pick up his kids for the weekend. One of them had already decided she didn't want to go with him. The other one of them was freaking out about going with him and didn't want to. Mm-hmm. And who knows what the other one was doing.
So he's like, I'm gonna jeep him.
Well, he got mad. And his wife was like trying to calm him down and be reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
And that made him more mad. So he pushed her down the stairs and then severely beat her in front of the children.
Nice.
So one of them runs to the neighbor's house to call the cops. And he's like, no, no, it's fine. I'm just gonna take her to the hospital. My bad. But they don't go to the hospital. He shoots her in the back of the head, and then he drives out by this is in Michigan, so jank as fuck already.
Mm-hmm.
He drives out to this abandoned schoolhouse in Jeepers Creepers. It's an abandoned church, I think. And he is seen by two people, Ray and Marie Thornton, I think they were brother and sister, unloading what they describe as a bloody sheet into a hole behind the schoolhouse. And they're like, oh shit, what did we just see? And then old Dennis hops in his creepy van because he sees them seeing him doing something
mm-hmm.
suspicious. So he follows them for several miles. Eventually he gives up. And they go back to be like, what just happened? What did we see? And they pass him changing his license plates. Who the fuck just has extra license plates in their car, by the way?
My friend Isaac, you're suspect, my dude.
Yeah, you could be a murderer. I've told him before.
Yeah, he probably is.
So, they call the cops just to be like, hey, we saw this. It was really weird. There was blood on the side of the van. The sheet looked bloody. We don't know if there was anything in it, but... And they're already like, alright, we thought this guy was being weird anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But by this point, he's already on the run.
Mm-hmm.
And he makes it to Texas somehow.
Nice.
And
probably I-70 south.
Fucking Dallas. I swear to God.
Yeehaw.
I showed you my Texas shirt, right? It's like rose gold and it just says Texas
yeah,
on
you
it.
Did,
with
actually.
The champion logo.
I was like, I want that.
Because I work in Texas. Well, I don't work in Texas. I work in Kansas, but I work with Texas. This whole state of Texas. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. He goes to Texas, and he's living in Dallas with the name, under the name Hank Queen. And he comes home one night after he hears of his case on Unsolved Mysteries. So this is almost a year later. And he walks into his place and he's distracting his girlfriend from the TV so she doesn't see his face on there.
Makes sense.
And he tells her that his mom is sick, so he has to go. And he asks her to pack him some sandwiches while he packs a bag, so she does that. And it's not until after he leaves that she figures out that it's him. Mm-hmm. So then she's like, what the fuck have I been doing?
Yeah, the fucking diddling a murderer.
Right. And then somewhere in Louisiana, I don't know where he was going by this point, but somewhere in Louisiana, a police chase starts because Mississippi police were notified that... Well, Mississippi police notified Louisiana police that there's a van with stolen Texas tags. Mm-hmm. So they set up a roadblock on I-20, and the police tried to shoot out his tires, but he made it through those. So then they were like, all right, he's firing back at us, so just, you know, do whatever you need to do. By the time they caught up with his car, mm-hmm. ballistics evidence showed that he actually shot himself before they could get to him.
Whoa.
So,
damn.
Not super duper creepersy, didn't scoop out her eyes or anything. Highway workers found her body in the road the next morning after he dumped her. But episode of Unsolved Mysteries is apparently really exactly the same as the first half of Jeepers Creepers, basically. What? Just... And I don't know if it's, like, plagiarism or whatever. The director never cited this case as an influence.
Mm-hmm.
But a bunch of people are like, okay, they said they were playing the license plate game. That's what they're doing in Jeepers Creepers. Mm-hmm. That's what they were doing in the reenactment.
Yep.
So, basically, everything that happens in the reenactment is exactly what happens in the first part of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
So, everyone's like, all right, whatever. So, yeah, sucks for that guy. For being an idiot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he got to do some cool stuff. He got to have two lives.
Yeah.
He was in a Hannah Montana situation.
Basically. I wonder if he dyed his hair.
I hope he did.
Like, he... Guys, you should really Google pictures of this guy. He looks creepy as fuck.
He looks like a dude that just murders dudes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, alright. Scarecrows? Since we're talking about Jeepers Creepers?
Yeah, let's just tie it all together.
I just know that... I don't think I saw Jeepers Creepers 2. No, maybe it was. Maybe I did see Jeepers Creepers 2. I don't know. I just remembered that there's Scarecrow in Jeepers Creepers 2.
Are there more Jeepers or more Creepers in the second one?
I don't remember. But Scooby-Doo and the Spooky Scarecrow.
Real art?
That is a movie. I don't know. I didn't really find a whole lot about scarecrows. They have existed for almost as long as agriculture itself, because farmers noticed that birds and animals would avoid human figures.
Yeah,
because
humans suck.
But they scare people more than crows, let's be real.
True, yeah. Because people are also scared of people.
So apparently, any symbol that resembles the human form has a perceived power to it, is what I was reading. Think about, like, burning an effigy or a voodoo doll or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So you're already giving the scarecrow some kind of symbolic power. And then you've also given it literally a job to do to keep your field safe.
Mm-hmm.
So now you've assigned it an ability and a power, and then you just expect it to get off of its cross and walk around and kill people, apparently.
That makes sense, yeah.
So,
because he's like, oh, it's my lunch break.
Yeah, and
gonna
also...
gonna murder.
It's a life-size human form that doesn't move. I feel like that's a really good way to hide a dead body.
Yeah, that's true.
Just literally put it in a...
Mm-hmm.
No. And then it's strung up in a field, which... Especially cornfields. I don't know if you've ever walked around in a field of corn. Maybe if you live in the Midwest and you go to a corn maze at Halloween or something. But
I know I have.
Just walking up and down a the actual corn is really disorienting. And
it is.
It's taller than you, and you can't see where you're going, and there might be creepy, murderous children in there. You don't know.
Oh, this is super relevant to the podcast. I actually have a story related to something
that
is subject matter. So I went to Holcomb, Kansas.
Yeah.
Have I told this story before?
I don't think so. Right, I don't know where that is.
I went to Holcomb, Kansas in 2013, which may be recognized as the place where the critically acclaimed novel In Cold Blood was placed.
Oh, yeah. I knew that.
It's one of my friends is from the city.
Truman Capote.
Yeah. So I was helping her with a wedding, and we went to a corn maze, which was, like, they don't talk about it in there. Like,
yeah, I bet.
In the city, it's just, like, pretty taboo to reference the fact that, like, a family got murdered to death. But, it was, like, a really sketchy time where it's out in the middle of the woods. There's a bunch of kids screaming and jumping out with chainsaws and guns and stuff. And my friend's like, Jack, I know that's you. And he's like, Gabby, stop it. And she's like, I'm going to tell your mom if you don't fucking stop. And I was like, yeah.
Last time I did a corn maze, I stopped being drunk halfway through it. And then the guy with the chainsaw came back the second time. And then, not the last time I did a corn maze, but the last time I did a haunted corn maze.
Mm-hmm.
I'll do a regular corn maze. But I stopped being drunk halfway through it. And then the guy with the chainsaw came back a second time. And then I just started having a panic attack. I've been in there for like 45 minutes, and it was pitch black at this point.
Yep.
And I didn't know where we were, and I just didn't want to be in there anymore. Mm. It was fun at first, but
I'm sober and sad.
45 minutes later, I was like, I don't care anymore. Let's just go. The fire is that way. Eventually, my boyfriend at the time even stopped and asked one of the actors, dude, she's starting to have a panic attack. Can you just tell me how to get out of here? And we went the way he told us. That was not the way to get out of
here.
Hated. So I was like, you fucking asshole, dude.
Well, yeah, so that's the time I did something related.
Cool.
Also, if anyone has not read In Cold Blood, would recommend. It's about a family that gets murdered. Takes place in small town Kansas. I also stole a bunch of stuff from an Applebee's when I was there. Because that's all there is to do. Like,
all of
everyone just steals from Applebee's.
Home invasion horror movies that are set in really remote locations are also kind of based on that.
In Cold Blood, yeah, 100%.
So, did you know, you're a nerd, that the Scarecrow's first appearance as a Batman villain was in 1941?
I did not.
Now you do. Yeah. I found that out today. I made that note just for you.
Do you know who's actually terrified of Scarecrow? Me. Not, like, the
original
Scarecrow.
Oh, like, the
villain? Yeah, no, like, the...
Which one?
Arkham Asylum one actually scares the shit out of me, and cosplayers of him I cannot go near. If you don't know what I'm talking about, listeners, like, please look up, like, Arkham series Scarecrow. So Scarecrow is a villain that injects you with, I think it's, like, fear, venom is what he calls it, something like that. And it literally just, like, makes you go crazy. Then he kills you.
Like, scared to death kind of thing?
Yeah, yeah. So, like, this iteration has a burlap sack that has, like, a noose around his neck.
Ooh.
And he's super, super tall, super wiry, and his syringes are on the back of his fingers.
Ew, that's
so
gross.
They're like claws.
That's
it's,
gross.
It is so scary. Oh, my. Ooh. Okay, continue.
Other notable scarecrows include the Wizard of Oz. Yay.
You're not in Kansas anymore. We're in Kansas, listeners.
There are a ton of scary movies where the monster is a scarecrow. I didn't even bother writing anything down. Also,
take our word for it.
Yeah, just Google scarecrow movie. And we've talked about him before, but Harold the Scarecrow, 1991, made his appearance in Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark. Which was actually, I think, probably my favorite mini-anthology part of the anthology of the movie, just because that Scarecrow was just getting that kid back for being a tool, honestly.
Yeah, no, exactly, yeah.
The other people, I don't know, like, they didn't deserve what they got, but that asshole kid deserved
what... He sucked.
Like, if you beat a Scarecrow in the face every day with a baseball bat... Do you not think that it's going to come off there and fucking eat you and make you a scarecrow?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So the guy that plays, what's the kid's name that gets scarecrowed? Do you remember?
No.
Yeah, whoever gets scarecrowed, that kid is in the show Euphoria as well, which everyone should watch. Unrelated.
Is Zendaya in that?
Yes, she is. She's
Okay.
the main fe or main she's the lead of the show.
Okay, because I was looking, this is gonna sound really nerdy, but I was looking at Greatest Showman costumes, and somehow I got on a Zendaya tangent, and then I saw that, and all I've ever heard about it was what you've said about it
It's very good. It's
on the
very
show.
sad.
And I, she was just standing there, and she had like glitter and shit all around her eyes, and I was
Yeah,
like,
dude.
okay,
A
huh.
lot of people have been inspired by her makeup. Hope loves that makeup.
I can see
My
that.
friend Cynthia also literally glued gems to her eyes last night when she went out. So I was like,
That's cool.
sick.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm gonna get eyes tattooed on my butt cheeks for that.
Butt cheeks.
Yep, one eye per cheek.
All right, you ready to talk about crop circles?
Yeah.
Fucking hate this.
Circles.
Did you know that crop circles mostly appear in southern England?
No. I thought they were in like Mayan areas, you know?
No. Are
Well,
you thinking of the Nazca lines?
maybe. I don't know what words you just said to me, so it's
That's like
possible.
the Thunderbird and the
Yes, I
weird
am thinking of
alien
that.
dude and
Yeah.
that.
But that's different.
Yeah, those are Nazca lines. They don't really know how they got there. A lot of archaeologists believe that it was just a lot of time and effort, but a lot of research has showed that they have some connection. So they are in South America, desert area, and a lot of people have come to the conclusion that they may indicate where underground water sources were located.
So you make like this big ass thing to say like, all right, somewhere in this vicinity, and then it's like, oh no, but it's more this way, and as it gets like smaller and smaller,
I don't
it's like
know.
it's here's the water.
I don't know how they work. I haven't done that much research. I've watched a couple documentaries about it,
You just watched Ancient Aliens. That doesn't
but
count.
no, I just watched Destination, nope, Expedition Unknown.
Destination Dundone.
Which I
Same
love,
thing.
but no, I have read some articles about it and watched a couple shows about it, and they think it's something to do with water sources. That's the hot theory right now. So,
If you want to talk
yeah.
about Kansas water sources, let me know. Your boy's heated about the Ogallala Aquifer all the
That shit
time.
getting drained.
I'm so upset. That's, yeah.
I've been brushing my cat for half the time I've been talking, and this is a lot of hair.
It is a lot of hair.
Girl is
She's
shedding.
chunky though. She's got a lot of fur.
She's just so itchy. All right, so yeah, no. Most crop circles appear in. How do you not know how to crop that? How are you
What?
confusing a crop circle with the Nazca
Because
lines?
I thought they were the same. So, like, crop circles are circles, like, granted, whatever. But they're,
Yeah.
like, made by aliens, and so are the Nazca lines or whatever.
All
So
right.
I'm, like, pretty sure that's, like, how my brain connected them.
I had like no idea about crop circles until I did this research this afternoon.
What?
I mean, I know they existed and everything, but I just
No,
didn't
dude. It's
know the
the
theories
reflections
behind
of
them.
alien titties down on the sky. The NERP is actually what sends you to space to the mother. The mother.
All I thought is that that's what happens when an alien lands in a cornfield.
Actually, that's part of a theory too, actually.
Yeah,
But
so.
there's a lot going on. Like, there's a lot going into a crop circle.
Yeah, so, okay.
Like in Thor, that shit with the Bifrost, you
Oh, I
know?
was like, there's a crop circle in
No, but
Thor.
it makes like crop circles.
Yeah.
Like that's part of it. Like it's not part of it. It's like a related.
There's cat hair up my nose. Oh my god.
Gross.
Most crop circle researchers call themselves cereologists, like cereal, because they're crops, and they're named after.
Boo.
And they're named after. They're
Boo.
named after because the word cereal is derived also from the Roman goddess Ceres, the goddess of agriculture. So
Boo.
they're cereologists, which literally just sounds to me like they're sitting around eating Raisin Bran.
Probably that's what I wish I could do.
I love Raisin
Me
Bran.
too,
It's
yeah.
cool.
Well, you're old, so
Yeah, I
that
know.
makes
I
sense.
gotta get.
Gotta be
Hey,
regular.
I'm a cradle robber, apparently, and Stu also loves Raisin Bran, so...
That's it.
We went into the cereal aisle the other day, acting like we were going to have a hot debate over what kind of cereal we were going to get. Yeah. And then I was like, I just want Raisin Bran, and he was like, oh, cool, me too. And that was it.
Easy.
No hot debate.
GG, no re. Got Raisin Bran.
So, let's see. I'm going to go through this list that I found about how hoaxers make crop circles, and then we'll talk about other stuff. Hoaxers use ropes and poles to measure out the circle. This sounds like at least a two-man job.
Mm-hmm.
One person stands in the middle of the proposed circle, and they, like, push the top of... Oh my god, excuse me. They push the top of their board down
mm-hmm.
with 1 foot and, like, turn it to make the center. And then they make the radius of the circle by using a long piece of rope that's tied at, like, both ends of the radius. And then they have this other piece of wood that they use to smash down the crop, whatever it is.
So that's, like, so you have a small friend standing on a board while your big friend drags you around?
No. They stand in the middle, like, as an anchor, kind of. Like, I'm picturing it working kind of like a compass if the things were connected.
Yeah, but,
at
like...
At the bottom.
How heavy is this board?
I don't know. It's just... What if you're standing... Like, so the other person is, like, smashing it down and moving it around.
That's so much work.
I know.
Why don't you just have a small friend sit on it and then drag them?
It's true.
Three-man job.
Okay. I'll be the inside.
Okay. I want to be small friend. I'm probably too tall.
Yeah.
Nope, not if you have a strong friend pull you. Jimmy Portella, you're going to help me make a crop circle, my dude. He's my strong friend.
I was also just going to say, look, full crew project.
That's it. All four of us, full, the entire...
Full crew project. Assistant to the regional manager. Regional manager. Social media coordinator and
I want
meme
to be Andy
boy.
Bernard. Yeah, Andy Bernard. That's me. The boner champ. I thought Broccoli Rob was the boner champ. No, Broccoli Rob is Broccoli Rob. Andy Bernard is the boner champ.
Oh my god. And we go make a crop circle together.
That's my favorite line from The Office, in case anyone was wondering. Hands okay. down, that's my favorite. Jesus. Broccoli Rob's Broccoli Rob.
So, this is what... Alright. Then I read this part. Researchers come to the scene of a crop circle. This is what happens. They talk to all nearby residents and all possible eyewitnesses.
Mm-hmm.
What did you see? Lights. Did you see lights? Did you see a UFO? What did you see? And they're like, I don't know, dude. I was really high.
Exactly. I've been on methamphetamines for years.
And then they examine the location and the weather, because most crop circles occur, like I said, in southern England, in hilly areas, and they're located in the low parts next to steeper hills.
Mm-hmm.
So then they check the weather to see if there's any freak windstorms or anything.
Oh, that would have been
because
some stuff.
That type of wind activity is common in those hilly areas. Think about how tornadoes move around.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, they move around us because of we're kind of in a valley, and then so we get kind of hit a lot, and yeah.
But also there's cities that, like, get jumped over
yeah.
because they're just lower, and the tornado's like, skirt.
Yeah. So, some people say that there are, like, wind vortices that's why there's the swirling pattern, and that's why they're round, because it's just like a freak. And you may be thinking, the weather does not that get that crazy in England, but let me tell you, I vividly remember, I saw a water spout when I was a kid in England, over the ocean.
What the fuck is a water spout?
It's like a dust devil, but it's water instead of dust.
Sick.
It's like a water tornado.
Sick.
And I shit you not, it was me and, like, that girl that lived next door to me, who was my best friend at the time. We ran. I mean, I only lived 3 blocks from the beach. But we ran all the way back to my house, and I was like, Mom, there is a tornado over the ocean.
The water's attacking us.
And she was like, no, that's just a water spout. And then on the news later, it said that it was a water, because by the time my mom came outside to, like, she stuck her head out the door to be like, wait, what? And it was gone. And then on the news later, they were like, it's a water spout happened today, whatever.
How big was it?
I don't really know. It seemed like it was ginormous at the time, but if I were to compare it to the size of a tornado, it was, like, F1-ish. So, like, real skinny and, like,
oh yeah,
squirrely.
But it was also in the news. So, like...
Yeah, well, things like that just don't happen where I... That was... If that was a common thing, I would have seen it dozens of times as a kid. That was just one occurrence. I have seen more solar eclipses in totality than I have seen water spouts on the coast in England.
Yo, I've seen 0 solar eclipses. Kansas, come fucking fight me. Like, every time I've tried, I... Like, it's super cloudy.
It also helps if you've lived on 2 different continents, because there was one over... Like, the one I saw when I was a kid on that same beach would not have been a total eclipse here. Mm-hmm. And then the one that was here 2 years ago, I went to see that one. Yeah. I drove, like, a little bit north to see that one.
I should have just left. I was doing stuff, though.
That's stupid.
I had to work. That was it.
That's fair.
Yeah, but I, like... So I couldn't have gone because I had to work, but I was at home doing nothing when it happened, so I just sat outside and it was super cloudy.
It was really cloudy that day, I do remember that.
Sucked.
No, I took off work. That was when I worked at Bourbon & Baker. Anyway, so that's, yeah, I don't know. That happened when I was a kid. It has to happen with windstorms on the land, too. That was my point. So, who knows?
If Avatar has taught me anything, The Last Airbender, not with a Na'vi, it's that if there's, like, Earth, it's gonna be water, fire, and air.
So, crop circles are because of windbenders.
Yes.
Okay.
Airbenders.
Whatever, I don't fucking care.
Windbenders.
Windbenders.
That sounds like a shitty font.
Then... They examine the affected crops and surrounding soil to compare it to the other soil next to the circle. They look at how the crops were damaged, where the stalks were broken. Some people think that they are damaged the same way that you heating up a plant in the microwave is damaged.
A plant? You think I'm putting a fucking ficus in my microwave?
Apparently. I don't know.
Science, explain that.
That's what they said. Maybe that's some drunk dude trying to figure out how crop circles were made and he put his bamboo in the microwave.
Shout out to bamboo. You're a great fiber.
And then they take electromagnetic readings inside the circles and near the circles. And then they analyze the circle patterns. And, like, the more complex ones, they'll compare to hieroglyphs or ancient symbols, because some of them have been found that look like Celtic symbols, or some that have been found that look like Aztec glyphs, all kinds of stuff. So, they say that 80% of the known crop circles are definitely man-made, but there are 20% that are just unexplained, like, no one came forward admitting that it was a hoax, or they weren't able to explain it with weather patterns or anything like that. And I'm sure a wind spout storm, a wind vortex would very easily make a small circle, but not the ones that are really perfectly cut with ginormous rings around them and then other little circles over here and then, like...
So you're saying it's chemtrails. Chemtrails in the
some
air.
Some people... Hold on.
This should not be a segue.
No.
I'm sad.
Some people... It's not really a segue, but this was just something ridiculous. Some people think that... Okay, well, this is ridiculous. Some people think that the notes left by humans time traveling from the future to help them navigate the planet. Ooh. And this guy believes he has decoded the symbols and they contain messages like, believe, there is good out there. Beware the bearers of false gifts and their broken promises. We oppose deception and stuff like that.
I trust him. I don't know him, but I trust him.
So it was that the crops are connected to human energy, and the circles are a reaction to something that is happening with human energy.
You're saying when I'm constipated, some fucking rutabagas are gonna change?
Yep,
What the fuck,
apparently.
man? That's wild.
It's earth, something about their earth energy.
Wild. I am an earth sign,
But
so.
this one sounded kind of cool, though. Some think that the energy comes from underground or the soil, and it's like a natural energy produced by a fungus that attacks the stalks, because the underground network of fun, I mean, they're always circular. That's why they're like the fairy rings are circular. So like, you know how the fungus is mostly underground and then it just pops out its spores. Yeah, I was like, you know shit about plants. You
I
have to
do.
know about this.
One of my friends also did an insane drawing of like a fairy ring, but like with fairies.
That's
I would
cool.
recommend.
So I thought that was kind of interesting. I mean, it doesn't really explain some of the shapes,
Not really at all, but you know.
but it would make sense that that would also be circular patterns just based on the structure of fungus. Or it could be energy from something man-made, a byproduct. They used World War II bombs as an example.
Oh, yeah.
So, but I don't know how that would appear so circular.
I mean, it would be like a singular circle. You know, it'd
Yeah.
be like if you got a potato masher and just slammed it
Yeah.
down. It wouldn't be like super intricate or anything,
Yeah.
like most crop circles are.
But also, if 80% of them are man-made, then that would explain why they're so intricate.
That's true.
Yeah. In 1990, it was discovered that crops were damaged much like plants heated in the microwave. It was proposed that the crops were rapidly heated from the inside.
I'm just saying, like, I'm not going to try to make a Hot Pocket and accidentally put my succulent in the microwave. Sober.
Sober, I was gonna
Yeah.
say, but
I like thinking about it, I was like, drunk me might do that.
drunk me would not do that.
I have some orchids I need to do something with.
In 1987, they found crop rotting. Orchids are.
I have lilies, never mind. I
Okay.
love lilies.
In 1987, crop rotting. Lilies used to be my favorite flowers, but I'm more of a peony girl now.
I had a conversation about peonies 2 days ago as
I
well.
love peonies.
Yeah, they're weird.
They're just so fluffy
They have like
and.
thingies.
There's.
Yeah, they're just like.
No, that's not a peony.
Yeah, no, they're like this.
Peonies are really round.
Yeah, they're like this.
No.
Yeah, but like three-dimensional. I don't have enough hands to like make a
Oh, like
peony.
how they all overlap.
Yeah,
Okay,
like it's
that
weird.
makes more sense.
Yeah.
That's why they're so big and fluffy,
Yeah,
though.
Google flowers, guys.
I love peonies are
Shit's
my. I
wild.
just love peonies. All right, let me try the sentence again. In 1987, they found crop writing that said, "We are not alone," and everyone was like, "If aliens wrote that, it would say, 'You are not alone, you fucking idiots.'"
Yeah. No, it's by lizard people. That's why. So lizard people are already here. So it's saying we are not alone. Like we are among you, lizard people. Hillary Clinton did that.
Doctor Who. Silurians.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I think that's all I got on crop circles. Okay, no, hold on. There is this one really famous one that was by Stonehenge. It's called the Julia Set. Women said that there was a change in their menstrual cycles after they visited it, and then some of them were postmenopausal, and they said that they randomly started their periods again
What
after they
the
visited it.
fuck?
But not that long after it actually happened, two dudes came up and were like, "Yeah, we made that in 3 hours at 3 o'clock this morning."
What the
So
fuck?
I'm like,
So there's still some whack shit going on.
I guess. Unless it's just like a psychological thing. I don't
Which is
know.
possible, I guess, because the human body's weird.
Yeah. I don't know.
Even they were postmenopausal, but their body's like, got more egg. That's it. That's how that works.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
I'm great with women, obviously.
I have the opposite problem.
No egg.
Yep. My uterus isn't even geriatric yet, and it's just like.
You know when you
all out.
You know when you're trying to make an omelet and you open the carton and there's nothing in there? That's you on the inside.
Good.
Just your internal carton's open and it's just like, the fuck, dude.
Kids creep me out anyway. Can you picture me being a mother just talking about this shit with my 4-year-old?
Your kid would not be normal. Your kids and my kids would probably actually be friends.
My kids would probably be dope as fuck.
I'm gonna have at least one child and they're gonna be immaculate.
No. Zero children.
It's totally gonna be cool.
Theoretically, my children would be amazing, but we're never gonna find out, so.
Mm. I've had a long day. I can't count to four.
It was smallpox, scarecrows. Smallpox, jeepers, creepers, scarecrows, crop circles.
I can't count to four.
I did Google stuff about harvesting organs, because, you know, yeah. Harvest season.
Dude, I told you I was going to tell this story. Okay, so Georgia and I had a business lunch at Panda Express. Shout out to Panda Express. Your food's okay. And I went to you. And yeah. She was like, what do you want to talk about? And I was like, all right, well, here's a bunch of different ideas. And you can just, like, pick which ones you might want to elaborate on. They're all things that I know, like, little to nothing about, but that I'm interested in learning more about. So, like, Jeepers Creepers, my idea. I literally knew the name Jeepers Creepers and that it was based on a true story. That was it. So, your boy's learning stuff. But, George was like, what about harvesting organs? I was like, oh, I can tell you about a guy that I know that did that. But, like, didn't elaborate because, like, podcast. So, there was a comic shop in Manhattan named Boom Comics, and it was really sick while it existed. And when it first opened, I don't
remember that existing at all.
It was very brief. It was like 8 months, maybe.
Was it when I lived in Washington?
It was 2015.
Yep.
Oh, well, that's why.
Yep.
So when it first opened up, there's a guy that worked there named Cutter. Cutter, super weird guy. Like, super, super weird.
What does he look like?
He was short to me, so probably around like 5'6", kind of a big head, brown hair, like very thin. And he would just say things that, like, weren't quite correct sometimes. And most of the time it's like, oh, classic Cutter, you know. But once I...
Is he friends with Chris and them?
No, I don't think so. So I, like, made a reference to, like, my body shutting down. Because I had just turned 21, so I was, like, drinking heavily, you know. Like you do when you're depressed and turn 21. And I was like, I need to get a new liver. And he was like, oh, I could do that for you. And I was like, huh. And he's like, yeah, so let me know. And I was like,
What?
And he's like, yeah, like, I actually know a guy. If you need organs, like, buying or selling, like, I know a guy. And I was like, are you kidding me? And he's like, nah, dude, like, he's in this. And he gave me, like, an area in Topeka where to find this guy. And I was like, what the fuck, dude? Are you serious? And he's like, yeah. And I was actually scared. And then he disappeared one day, and it's because he got arrested for doing some whack stuff.
Okay.
But, like...
I was like, I literally know a Cutter that's got dark hair, and he's real skinny, and...
I don't think this is the same guy. Okay. It might be.
That's good.
But, yeah. We'll look.
I went camping with him, so I hope not.
I don't think it's the same guy.
Yeah. Otherwise, I feel like I would not have any organs left.
Yeah. He was such an interesting guy. If you would like to contact us, feel free to reach out on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram at Broadcast from the Belfry. You can put that in the search bar and find us. You can also listen anywhere podcasts are available, except for Google Play Music, but that's fine. And you can find us there by searching Broadcast from the Belfry in that search bar. You also can email us, which I probably didn't say, at broadcastfromthebelfry@gmail.com.
Holy shit, you got it right. It's a harvest horror miracle.
So feel free to do that. As you know at this point, we love hearing from you guys, and we love it when you interact with us.
I'll probably read your any review that you leave or any email that you say, because honestly, I get really excited.
We will 100% like mention you by name. We might not read it out entirely, depending what the contact matter is. Also, because I cry very easily, and I don't want that on recording. So, Georgia...
Someone just acknowledging that I'm intelligent...
That was it.
...is enough to make me cry sometimes. I just need some reassurance.
Affirm me,
Daddy. On days when I, you know, don't use my degree, which is every day.
Same. I don't have a degree, but, you know, when I don't use the things that I care about or know a lot about for no reason. Anything else you'd like to add?
I was just patting my cat because she's been choking in the middle of the night a lot, and it's very disconcerting. Nope, that's all I got.
What do we say to the people that listen to this podcast sometimes?
Did you just space out, like, real hard?
I did, yeah. I was thinking about something. I looked into Luna and she looked into me.
She looked in. Did you look into the soul of the TARDIS cat?
I did.
Thanks for listening and stay spooky.
Sluts.